What do we mean when we say that Christ was perfectly human? That's what we're going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. We're currently in a series called Great Bible Doctrines, and right now we're thinking through Christology. Last time on the show, we talked about Jesus's hypostatic union. Today, we're going to talk about perfect humanity. Here's Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar to help us understand this important concept.
Welcome back to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
We're excited about this series, going over the great doctrines of the Bible, which we hope to turn into a short book to be used in our overseas teaching at Bible colleges overseas. Thank you for supporting us. And Ken, who's our East Coast international speaker, he's been doing the lion's share of teaching overseas. And it's also in preparation for our national conference in May at the Hope Center in Plano. And I never say the numbers. It's the third week of May, 18th to the 21st, and it's free for first-timers. It's $85 for everyone else, unless you can't pay that, and then we'll work something out with you. So we're talking about Christology, which is
the study of the person and the work of Christ.
Right. And we saw in the last episode that the early Christians believed that Jesus was God, and then at the councils of Nicaea and Chalcedon, they defined what that meant. And what that meant was, basically, Jesus was one person. He wasn't two persons. He was one person who had two natures, a fully human nature and a fully divine nature. He was fully human and he was fully God. And what I want to do in this episode is just look at the evidence for the humanity of Christ. Now, you might be asking yourself the question, why is that even an issue? And the truth is, there was a lot of doubt about that in the very first centuries. Maybe it's even reflected in John's epistles. There were some people who thought that Jesus wasn't a real man. They thought that he was a ghost or some type of spirit that just looked like a person.
Right. We're not sure exactly what John means in 1 John when he talks about those who deny that Jesus came in the flesh. It's probably a whole group of heresies, but one of them would be docetism, the idea that he just appeared to be a man but really wasn't a man.
Right. And other people say that Jesus was an angel come to earth. But the problem is God put humanity under the law, and humanity had a sin debt to pay, and a human had to pay that debt, not an angel.
Right. Other people have the odd idea that Jesus was a man until his baptism, and then God came upon him, and he became the Christ, and then God left him at the cross, and that's when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Right.
And the man dies, but God's left.
Right.
And so that's another heresy. There's a whole bunch of them. But
so when we look at Nicene Chalcedon that says he was fully man, I think it's important to go to the Bible and just to look at the evidence that would suggest that. And so we have a few points here that we want to go over with you just to prove to you that Jesus was fully human. First of all, Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah would be born of a virgin, and that is exactly what happened. Mary became pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and she gave birth to Jesus soon after. In Luke 2:4-7, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So there you have, Jesus was born as a normal human baby, right? Just like any other human
right.
baby. Now, some people might say, yeah, but he didn't have a human father. So doesn't that make him somewhat not human or somewhat less than human?
No, he's fully human, but it makes him sinless human.
Mm-hmm.
A human that, in both his humanity and in his deity, desired to please the Father.
Mm-hmm.
In his humanity was much like we will be once we gain glorified bodies, that we will forever glorify God. We'll never sin again once that day comes. But Jesus, being the perfect God-man, was not only perfect in his deity, but he was perfect in his humanity. And of course, it's odd to speak of it that way because he was one person. He wasn't two persons trapped in one body or
right.
something.
Well, one thing I always say is when you think back to Adam and Eve, they were the first human beings, but they came about as an act of special creation. They didn't have a birth as babies.
Right.
But that doesn't detract from their humanity. They
right.
were still fully human. They're the first
right.
human pair. And the same thing with Jesus. Just because he didn't have a human father, that doesn't detract from his humanity. That's just God kind of brought him about in a special way.
Right.
Well, the second thing is, not only was he born, but he experienced normal human growth. He aged normally. For example, we're told that on the eighth day, Jesus was circumcised. We're told that he grew up. We have a little episode from his preteen years when his parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. And when they were leaving after the feast, he was nowhere to be found. And it turned out that he had stayed behind, and he was talking to the teachers in the temple and really amazing them with his knowledge and his
presence.
And he
was 12. Yeah.
And he was 12 years old.
Yeah.
Interestingly, I think that's the only biblical record we have of Jesus' life at that age.
Right.
Luke 2:52 says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." So he grew up.
Right.
Right? He grew normally. Luke 3:23 tells us he started his ministry at about 30 years of age. So we know he grew to about 30. And then an interesting episode in John chapter 8, verse 57, the Jews were scoffing at Jesus. The Jews said to him, "You're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Now, we'll get to that, because in answer to that scoffing, Jesus says something absolutely incredible.
Right.
But that just tells you that Jesus grew normally. He was a baby, and he grew into a 30-something-year-old.
Right.
Well, another evidence for his humanity is his physical needs. He hungered and he ate. He thirsted and he drank. He grew tired and he slept. He had all the normal physical needs that humans have.
Right.
Another thing is that Jesus had a job.
He was a carpenter or an architect, depending on how you understand the Greek word there.
Right. Right. He had a normal job like anyone else. He was a carpenter or a stonemason or whatever it was. He had to earn a living.
Right.
You know, by the sweat of his brow. I found another evidence that Jesus is human is that he paid taxes. He paid taxes like everyone else. He had a job. There's this time where he was talking to Peter, wasn't he, about temple taxes?
And right.
He basically gets Peter to go fishing, and he catches a fish. And in the mouth of the fish, there's like enough money to pay the temple tax
for two people.
For two people.
Yeah.
So Jesus paid his taxes. He might have used miracles to pay the taxes.
Yeah, right.
Although I read one commentator say this was a joke telling Peter, like, go make some money by going fishing. But anyways, another thing that Jesus had to prove his humanity is he had a human personality. So he had a will, you know, one that was distinct from the Father's will, but in union with it. For example, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's talking to the Father, and he says, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Jesus had a will there.
Now, I might mention, this is one that I have a pet peeve on.
Yeah.
And that is, I think what he's saying is, it's my will to drink this cup and go to the cross. And so I want the cup to pass from me by drinking it. I want to go to the cross. All through his ministry, he's been pointing to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
My hour is not yet come. My hour is not yet come. In fact, he later says, "Shall I shrink back from this when this is what I was sent to do?"
Right.
So I don't believe that Jesus is here saying in his humanity he doesn't want to go to the cross. I think what he's saying is, yes, I want to do what you sent me to do, but not my will, but thy will be done. The reason I want to do it is because this is what you want for me.
Right.
I think that's a view that I first heard by Dr. Craig Blazing. I think it was published in the Scottish Journal of Theology, and other people hold that view.
Yeah.
I think it makes the most sense, but some people say, well, no, in his humanity, he didn't want to go to the cross. Well, maybe.
Well, another thing that shows Jesus' humanity is that he experienced emotions, such as grief and anger. In John 11, Jesus experiences the death of his friend Lazarus.
Right.
He weeps. The
shortest verse in the Bible.
Shortest verse in the
John 11:35, Jesus wept.
And he weeps even though he knows that, one, he's about to raise Lazarus from the dead physically, and two, that Lazarus is going to be raised to eternal life sometime in the future, both of which are mentioned in
right.
that passage. And so even though Jesus has that certainty, he still weeps. And I find that's really helpful for Christians because
right.
sometimes people feel guilty about grieving. But just because we have this hope doesn't mean the death of a loved one isn't painful.
Right. You Plus, know? Jesus was certainly grieved by the grieving of Mary and Martha and all the weeping they were doing and the other people around them whom he
right.
had great love for.
So,
he loved that whole family, and yet here he's allowing them to go through grief.
Yeah, absolutely. He also wept over Jerusalem's impending destruction. Jesus could also feel angry. For example, in Mark 3:5, It says, "And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other." So he's angry and grieved.
Right, and he cleanses the temple twice,
right,
at the beginning of his ministry in John 2, and then at the end of his ministry in the Synoptics. And both times, zeal for his father's house,
right,
was compelling him to do this.
Right, and zeal you can think of as kind of a righteous anger.
Right.
So he had a human personality. He also suffered. You know, that's another demonstration that Jesus was fully human. He was beaten by the Roman soldiers. We read about his blood being shed in Matthew 22, 24 to 26 and Luke 22, 44. And finally, of course, Jesus died. And then the soldiers, to make sure that he was dead, stabbed him in the side.
Right.
And then you have the blood coming out and the water coming out. And that could only happen if Jesus was a real, he came in the flesh, as 1 John would say. You know, wasn't a ghost, wasn't an apparition, wasn't just an angel come to earth. He was a real person who could be tortured and killed, and that's what happened to our Lord. And maybe another evidence of Jesus' humanity is something that he kept on emphasizing in the Gospel of John. It's that he was totally dependent on the Father for everything that he did in his humanity,
right,
in his incarnate state.
Right.
You know, in John 5:19, for example, it says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." John 14:10 says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." And so this dependence on God to do these miracles, I think, is also an attribute of his humanity.
Right.
So to summarize, I think the Bible is pretty clear that Nicaea and Chalcedon got it right. Jesus is fully human.
Fully human, but also perfect humanity, sinless humanity. We call that impeccability. He was, not only didn't he sin, he was unable to sin. And we can talk about that more maybe in future episodes.
Yeah.
But Jesus was tempted as we are, but without sin.
That's right. This is not the type of thing you're typically going to hear in a church. I pray that you'll keep on listening to the show as we delve into these deep doctrines, these great doctrines of the Bible. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website and it will show up in your mailbox hassle-free. It's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. Next time on the program, we're going to continue talking about Christology as we consider his full deity. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.